So Parshas Korach opens with this big mutiny against Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach and a selection of people from the tribe of Reuven, they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have taken all the glory and all the grandeur. We also want to be a Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not a good idea. It's supposed to be one Kohen Gadol. And not everybody can do this. But Korach does not seem very interested in listening. Moshe proposes a litmus test. So we're going to have this Ketores. You know, Ketores is like scary stuff. Nadav and Avihu didn't make it as a result of the Ketores. So we're going to have the Ketores placed in a fire pan, and then we'll see what happens. We'll see whose Ketores Hashem takes. And Moshe Rabbeinu tries to win them over, tries to speak to them, but he is not successful. So chapter 16. In the 14th verse, the second reading begins. And Korach and his people say the following to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, you know, you're trying to win us over. You're trying to suggest that you didn't create this on your own. This is God's idea. But the truth is that you do not work for us. You have not taken care of our interests. Af loyal eretz zovas cholov udvosh. You have not brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. You did not provide for us or give us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Even if you were to gouge the eyes out of those people, really they mean themselves, they just didn't want to speak about themselves that way. We will not be coming up. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. Let's put an end to this. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that he still had some political capital left. And their response is extreme. Extreme. Blame Moshe for all the problems. Not that they didn't want to go to Israel. We didn't want to go. We made the problems. No. You made the problems. You don't let us go to Israel. You're the one who stopped us from fulfilling our destiny. Even if you gouge our eyes out, we won't be following you. So Rashi says, Vatitin lanu, hadavar musav, if you really want to understand verse 14, you have to take a look at verse 13. What does it say in verse 13? It says, you're just trying to lord over us. You're just trying to control us. That's all this is about. Is it not enough that you have prevented us from going to the land of Israel? And now you try to control us? Now you're trying to lord over us? So Rashi says, Kiloimar, in other words, Lo yahave esanu, you didn't bring us into the land. Lo yinasat alonu nachalas sadeh v'chorim, you did not provide for us or give us or distribute an inheritance of fields and vineyards. And that was supposedly why we left Egypt. That was the deal. We're supposed to follow you into the desert because we're going to be coming to this beautiful land. We didn't end up there. Amar talonu, you told us, Aleschem me'oni mitzayim, I'll raise you up from the deprivation, from the agonies of Egypt, el eretz teva, v'goymer, to a good land, a land that is called euphemistically flowing with milk and honey. And what happened? Misham haitzei sanu, you took us out of home, you took us out of Egypt, v'loy el eretz zavas chalav advash havi'e sanu, but you did not bring us. You didn't do the second half of the deal. You said you'd take us out of there to get us to go here, but that never happened. Elo gazarta aleinu, you decreed upon us, lahamisenu b'midbar, that we should all die in the desert. Sha'amarta lanu, you said, b'midbar hazeh yiplu figdechem, right here in this desert, you'll all drop dead. Which is true. Moshe Rabbeinu did say that because God told him to say that because the people of Israel refused to go into the land of Israel. And now Moshe is being blamed for that. Even if you were to gouge the eyes out of those people, Rashi says, Afilu ata shaleach lenaker eseinenu, even if you sent messengers whose job would be to literally gouge the eyes out of our eye sockets, loina leilecha, you threatened us with the most disgusting torture, we would still not go up to you. Loina le. Hanoshim haheim, who's those people? Rashi says, this is ka'odom ha'telo kilulase b'chavede, like a person who speaks about the possible negativity or harm that might come to them, speak about somebody else. So they don't say, suppose I'd be in an accident and suppose I'd become a quadriplegic or something like that. They said, suppose a person would, not suppose I would. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears these words. And this is the first time he responds. Really, he gets really distressed. Moshe Rabbeinu tried very hard with diplomacy. He tried to reach out to these people. He tried to be kind. He tried to be patient. And the response is really bad. It's a terrible response. And so, Vayichar l'Moshe ma'od. The Torah says Moshe was extremely distressed. And so he doesn't speak to the people. Instead, he speaks to God. Vayomer al Hashem, he says to God, Al tefen el minchosam, do not turn to their offering. Lechamor echad mehem nasasi, I have not sequestered a single donkey. Loi harei oisi es achad mehem, I did not do anything wrong. I haven't harmed any of these people. What's going on over here? First of all, we have to understand, what does it mean Moshe was this vayicha? Vayicha usually means anger. Was he angry? What does vayicha mean? It was the anger burned? And also, what does it mean, don't turn to their offerings? What does this mean? Should be don't turn to them, maybe. What's not their offerings? And then a business with a donkey? What was the possible issue that Moshe Rabbeinu was ruling out by saying, I didn't even take a donkey from them? So let's take a look in Rashi. He says, Vayichar l'Moshe me'od. The terminology vayichar here does not come from the term anger. This is not about angry. Because it says Moshe Rabbeinu's anger didn't flare against them. It means vayichar l'Moshe. If it would be vayichar aleihem, that the anger would be focused on them, then vayichar would mean angry. But here is vayichar l'Moshe. Anger is focused on somebody. I'm angry at. Sometimes people say I'm angry at myself. But saying that I'm angry at. You're angry at somebody who did something wrong, or somebody who fell short, or somebody who didn't follow through, or fulfill what they promised. So I'm angry at them. And here it says vayichar l'Moshe. It was a vayichar. The ichar was inward focused towards Moshe. Moshe Ben didn't do anything wrong here. So why did he have this vayichar? So Rashi says, well, it doesn't mean anger here. Vayichar means, it means angst. That's for sure. It means an extreme kind of visceral emotional response. But the vayichar l'Moshe means netzta'er ad l'ma'od. He felt aggrieved. Distressed, pain. He was so bothered by this. Somehow, these words bothered him more than anything else. It's almost as if this bothered him more than the mutiny itself. And so he asks, he prays for Hashem. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu who always prays on behalf of every single Yid. He's always defending everybody. He's always claiming innocence on behalf of those who behave in a bad way. He's always suggesting that maybe they shouldn't be held guilty or culpable, or maybe not everybody sinned, or maybe they didn't mean it. And here Moshe Rabbeinu davens. He asks Hashem not that he should forgive them. He says to Hashem, Al tefen el menchosam. Do not turn to the offering. So Rashi says, Lefi pshuta, on a very literal level, it's referring to the k'toides, ha-k'toides shemakrivim lefanecha mochar, the offering, the incense that they will be bringing tomorrow morning. Al tefen aleim. Do not turn towards them when they bring this k'toret. Or it would be maybe self-understood, even that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't understand that God wouldn't take their ketorah, but don't even turn to them. The fact that they're bringing an offering should earn them no favor, no divine grace. The fact that they're going out of their way and bringing something shouldn't turn to them. But it doesn't say to them. It says el menchosam. It says to their offering. And it doesn't say el ketorosam, to their ketorah. In any way, it's self-understood that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to see God turning to their ketorah, because we know even Nadav and Avihu, when they brought unauthorized ketorah, what happened? God does not turn to it. So he says, Al tefen aleihem, don't turn to them. But it says, Minchasam. So Rashi says something very interesting. U'medrashay. The midrashic interpretation here is as follows. Omar Moshe, Moses said before Almighty, Yodeya ani sheyesh lahem chelek betimidi tzibur. I know that every single member of Am Yisrael has a portion of the daily offerings that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. We call these tamidei tzibur. Tamid means constant, the constant offerings of the tzibur, of the community, the congregation. So af chelkam lo yikubal, whatever portion they have, whatever tiny amount, even if it's like a quantum physics, like some kind of literally like a few tiny smidgens of that offering which get consumed in the fire, and that serves as an atonement for them. Whatever subatomic molecular part of the animal belongs to them, because animals made up of thousands of cells, and every one of those cells ultimately gets consumed in the fire on the Mizbeach. So whatever cellular part of the animal, the cellular structure that belongs to this specific group of individuals, don't accept it. It should not be accepted. It's like an unbelievable miracle. The fire should leave behind that cellular part. That tiny portion of the offering shouldn't be burnt in fire. And thusly, it shouldn't serve as an atonement for them. So Moshe Rabbeinu not only does not daven for these people, he doesn't want them atoned for. He doesn't want them to benefit from the korban. The korban means kiruv, brings closeness. Korban tzibur brings closeness on behalf of the entire congregation. It brings atonement for the mistakes and the misdeeds. Moshe Rabbeinu says they should not be brought atonement. They should have absolutely no virtue. They should have no grace. They should have no kindness from Hashem. I didn't sequester even a single donkey. I never took any donkeys from them. Natalti. What's the echad? The echad, Rashi says, is afilu kishahalachti mi midyan lemidyan lemitzrayim. Even when I went from Midyan to Mitzrayim, vihikavti es ishti veesbone alachamir. I had my wife and my children ride on a donkey. Vahayli litol eisachamir mehem. I should have billed that to the company. That was not a personal trip. That was a business trip. And I didn't do it for myself. I took from a wife, and children shouldn't have to suffer because I have business. Nonetheless, Lenatalti, I didn't take it. It wasn't theirs. Elamishili, I took my own. The Targum Unculus renders this. Shechoris. What is Shechoris? Shechoris means Lashon Arami. This is an Aramite term. Nikreis Anagaria Shal Melech Shachvar. When the king sequesters, the king or really government has the right to basically take items. They can assert control over items. Because if you live under a government, they have the right to tax you. They can also make a decision that they're going to take something from you. And so even, I never did anything like that. I never used any of my executive powers. I never utilized, I never got indemnified. I came there on my own nickel. I didn't do anything bad to them. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem should not forgive them at all. Now, what bothered Moshe more than anything else? What bothered Moshe more than Medrash Agada says, to use this terminology, even if you gouge our eyes out. Moshe's like, I would gouge somebody's eyes out? How could they even speak like this about me? In Al Tefen Al Melchasam, the Medrash Lamdeinu says, do not have any mercy for them. Why? Why did he take this so personally? Because they were saying that Moshe Rabbeinu made up his own ideas. Take this through to the end. If anything they say actually has traction, if people will in their minds think that Moshe Rabbeinu did something by himself, what is this imperil? Does it imperil Moshe Rabbeinu's appointments? Does it imperil the administration of the Jewish people? What does it really imperil?
His leadership.
It imperils everything. It imperils everything. Because if we can't assume or believe that everything Moshe Rabbeinu says came from God, you could say that about anything. Who says Shabbat to Shabbat? Who says tefillin is tefillin? Who says kosher is kosher? Who says marriage is marriage? Everything Moshe Rabbeinu says now is in question. If Moshe Rabbeinu's word is not absolute, then nothing is absolute. Then I believe there's a God, and the God of my own interpretation. I'll serve him as I please. That's Moses' idea. I have my ideas. This is the polar opposite of when the Jewish people came to the Reed Sea and they together exclaimed in this profusion of faith, what did they say? Vayaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe avde. If there's no Moshe, there's no God. Because if you cannot believe that Moshe Rabbeinu says nothing on his own and that he is a person who has transcended his own personal likes and dislikes, he has no agendas whatsoever, he's a totally transparent individual. Like you give the metaphor, you're looking through a glass window, you're not seeing Moshe at all. If you cannot accept that idea that we're talking here about a Rebbe, then there's nothing. There's no Judaism in it. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is very extreme here. He demands that Hashem have absolutely no mercy for these people. The Or HaChaim suggests that Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping that when the people would see the fire of the Karban and suddenly leaves, this tiny bit of meat doesn't burn it, that there would be such a wondrous thing that the word would get out and they would be say, oh wow, that is amazing. This would be similar to like Moshe Rabbeinu's first experience when he saw the presence of God. How was that? With a bush that was on fire and it was not consumed. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew from himself how that took him, how amazing that was. He was hoping that the people would see that the fire would come to a point and then the fire shrinks back. Fire doesn't consume. That doesn't happen. And they would realize how serious this is, how they were being prevented from coming close to Hashem. But sadly, as the story continues to unfold, that's not going to be the case. So let's take a look now in a very interesting talk from the Rebbe, where he provides us with some phenomenal insight as to what really happened here. Why Moshe Rabbeinu really became so bothered, so aggrieved. Why he responded with this particular request. Page Resh Ayin Aleph, it's Siman Yud Beis, Vayichar L'Moshe Ma'oid, right? We say Moshe became very distressed. And Rashi says it means Nitztar, not angry, but distressed, aggrieved. And he said, don't turn to their offering, even the Ketoret, don't turn to them. There's the Fib Pshutu, there's the literal meaning, the Ketoret, and then there's the deeper meaning. So the Mefarshim expressed astonishment. These are Mefarshim like the Maharal of Prague and the Gurarye and others like the Hoyol Moshe, Devek Tev, Imre Shofer. They say, did Moshe have to really daven that Hashem shouldn't accept the Ketoret? Because in the first iteration of Rashi's interpretation is don't turn to them. He says, don't when they come and bring Ketoret before you, don't accept the Ketoret. Right? Lefi Pshuto, HaKetoret Sheim Akrivim Lefanecha. The Ketoret that they offer before you, El Tefin Aleim, don't turn to it. So the Rebbe says, well, that's not really a question because as I spoke this out when we learned the Rashi, HaTshuva L'kach Ne'utza B'diyuk L'Shein Rashi. Rashi's verbiage is very precise and exact. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu finishes, Al Tefen Aleihem. When they bring Ketoret, he says, don't turn to the Ketoret. He says, HaKetoret She'im Akrivim L'fanecha Mochar. The Ketoret, which they will bring tomorrow, it doesn't say Al Tefen Eleha. Don't turn to the Ketoret. It says Al Tefen Aleihem. Don't turn to them. In other words, to the Anoshim, not to the Ketoret. It's self-understood that the Ketoret was not going to be accepted by Hashem. That was self-understood. How would HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept their Ketoret, which is totally unauthorized? Well, we have a precedent of Nadav and Avihu, and we know Moshe Rabbeinu points out to them that the Ketoret is like, it's like poison. It's like a death sentence. You don't mess around with Ketoret. And he specifically chose Ketoret, hoping they would hear, Ketoret, oh yeah, one second. We know what the association of Ketoret is. We know about the last people who brought unauthorized Ketoret. What happened to them? The Chiddush, the Rebbe says, the novelty here in the Bakasha of Moshe, Al Tefen Al Chosam, don't turn to their offering, is Shakadosh Baruch Hu Le'yistapek Be'ika Bolas Akteris. It shouldn't just be that Hashem doesn't accept the incense. He shouldn't turn towards those who are bringing the Ketoret. They shouldn't be punished. They shouldn't be punished just for bringing unauthorized incense like Nadav and Avihu. They should be punished for leading a mutiny against Moshe Rabbeinu. They should be punished for questioning the very core foundations and principles of Judaism itself. And it should be clear that they're being punished. Not that there's an issue, well, they brought Ketoret and they shouldn't have brought Ketoret. That's bad, but that's not what's really bad. What's really bad is that they're undermining Torah and Yiddishkeit itself. And that should be clear that God doesn't turn to them at all. It's not about the Ketoret. It should be that they find no favor in Hashem's eyes whatsoever. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking. And that's why he says, Al Tefen El Mul Chasam. He doesn't say, Al Tefen El Ketoret Sehem. He doesn't say, because it's not about the mincha. It's not about the Ketoret per se. It's about the fact that they bring any kind of offering. Don't turn towards their offering klal. Now, the Rebbe says something very interesting. Lefi hezberzeh, according to this explanation, yuvan heitiv seyder aksuvim kan, the order of the verses really kind of resonates with great clarity over here. B'tchila, in the beginning, Matzia Moshe l'kerech, Moshe says, k'chulecha machtes. Why don't you get these censers or firepans. Why don't you bring your firepans? We'll do some ketores. Va'isha sheyivchar, the one that God will choose, hu HaKadosh, he's the Holy One. You bring the firepans, you see what happens. La'acha mikein, afterwards, misnal vikuach ben Moshe lekerech v'avedaseh. Then there's an argument that ensues. Words, sharp words are exchanged. And only after this exchange, li'acha mikan nemar, then it says vayicha l'Moshe. Then it says that Moshe became so aggrieved, so distressed. Me'oid. Vayoymer, and he says, al tefen al machasim. He prays that God not turn to them. He prays that God not accept favorably their efforts and the fact that they're making this overture, supposedly seeking closeness and communion with the Creator. So the Rebbe explains, this is what happened. B'tchila sava Moshe, in the beginning Moshe, who judges everybody favorably, he made this assumption, or he's in his mind's eye, he tried to imagine, shemedubar ba'anoshim ha'mevakshim b'kenus lihis'alais l'dagas kunig doyla. He said, maybe there's sincerity here. They really want to be on the spiritual level of a Kohen Gadol, which is extraordinary level. They really want to be that way. They want to be like a Kohen Gadol. They're yearning for a closeness. They're yearning for a spiritual intimacy with the Creator. That's what they're looking for. And so, Moshe Rabbeinu says, is that what you're yearning for? You want to have the deepest, most profound spiritual bond and connection? Ketores is that deepest connection. It's the highest form of any offering in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, okay, kulecha machtes. Why don't you take these fire pans? You want to take this risk? You want to play this game? You'll see that the person that God chooses, hu HaKadosh, he's the Holy One. And that will bring, of course, obviously, the death of those who bring the Ketoret unauthorized, just like happened last time. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to punish them for the machloket itself. He's trying to impress upon them. He says, I understand that you seek communion. I understand, I can empathize that you want to be close to Hashem. You know how you get close to Hashem, he says? The closest offering is the Ketoret. You want to take chances with the Ketoret? You want to play Russian roulette? You want to bring that Ketoret and then see what happens? Do you realize that God's going to choose not everybody's Ketoret, but one Kohen Gadol? Somebody's Ketoret will be accepted, and it might not be yours. And if it's not going to be yours, you know what happens instead of the Ketoret becoming an offering. Instead, you'll be the offering. Right? Is that what you want? And he's trying to impress upon them. This is a mission impossible. Not a good idea. However, Moshe Rabbeinu's attempts at diplomacy fail. He's trying to make these diplomatic overtures, but they feel they have diplomatic immunity. Moshe Rabbeinu can't throw anything at us. And then what happens is, Moshe Rabbeinu sees that his words have absolutely zero impact on these people. Not only did they not appreciate Moshe Rabbeinu's diplomatic overture, not only they didn't appreciate his reaching out to them, his acceptance, if you will, his empathy with their seeming desire to have spiritual closeness to Hashem, instead of softening their positions, what was their response? Him aimed at Miriam. They remained fully rebellious. And when they remained fully rebellious, this was a dover shehichiach. This proved shabakashas ha'kohuna gedela. This is not about Ketores, Moshe Rabbeinu realized. It became clear this is not about incense. This is not about spirituality. This is not about spiritual closeness or communion. This is about politics. This is about control. This is about dominion. That's all this was about. And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, they said, oh, you'll poke our eyes out, we won't come. You didn't even take us to Israel. Oh, he says, oh, that's what this is about. So this is about a mutiny. This is about a rebellion. I thought maybe this is about spirituality. I thought you actually sincerely wanted to close Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw that this caused him, this caused Moshe Rabbeinu so much pain. On a personal level, he was aggrieved. He was pained for the fact that these Jews, who he thought had good intentions, because, you know, the road to a not nice place is paved with many good intentions. Okay, but at least they have good intentions. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu said there's no good intentions. There was nothing good. It was all rotten. Therefore, at that point, Bikish Makadosh Baruch Hu Tefen Amuchasim, in that case, do not accept their offering. Kalemer, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Liyestapik Bik Bal Sakteiris. This should not just be a lack, don't accept their Ketoret because the Ketoret is unauthorized. No. This is something much, much more pernicious. This is not an issue of spirituality or the search for it gone awry. This is a question of outright rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and ultimately against all of Yiddishkeit itself. this will undermine the very underpinnings and foundations of Torah Judaism, of our connection, of our the system through which we worship Hashem. And so here Moshe davens, Yanesh HaMaktirim Ba'atzmam. Here there's no choice. These people, they should be punished. Not that Torah shouldn't be accepted. Not their attempt should not yield success. They should be punished. This entire situation should collapse on them because Moshe Rabbeinu has now the duty, the obligation to protect the integrity of Yiddishkeit itself. And now it all makes sense. And with this, now it's our turn to bring some Ketores.